Bloody Elbow presents Crooklyn's Corner, a hodgepodge of current event topics from the combat sports and entertainment community. Here is your host, Crooklyn, a.k.a. Steffi Haynes.
Welcome back to another episode of Crooklyn's Corner. I'm your host, Crooklyn, but most of you know me by now as Steffi Haynes. And joining me today is Bloody Elbow's chief fight analyst, Zane Simon. Zane, how are you? It's the end of the year, and I've tapped you to do your best and worst and your wish list, the whole ball of wax. How are you?
Oh, I can definitely deliver my worst today. I think that's I'm fully functional and capable of that. I'm doing all right. Yeah, I'm, you know, sort of getting through the holiday stress and all that kind of stuff to, yeah.
Get the year all wrapped up and start anew.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what we want to do. We want to do a little short list of your favorite fights of 2021 and your least favorite fights of 2021. And what I've done is I've randomly selected divisions. And so I'm going to hit you with a division and you're going to give me your favorite fight. That we're going to start with our favorites. Then we're going to go into our least favorites. Then we're going to go into a wish list that you might have for 2022. And then last, we're going to have you make your top super fight for women, one for women and one for men. So if that's good for you, we'll go ahead and get started.
All right. Yeah, I think that sounds good to me.
All right. So at lightweight, what was your favorite fight of 2021?
Well, the obvious, you know, the running out of the gate answer has got to be like Gagey Chandler, right? That was the super cool, ultra awesome fight of 2021 that we can all pretty much agree was fight of the year. I'm not actually picking it though, because I mean, that would be boring, right?
Like, right. Okay.
You know, it's a good fight. I got nothing wrong. It is the best fight. It's the number one choice, but I'm going to go with Green Fiziev.
Oh yeah.
Bobby Green versus Rafael Fiziev, because you had your long arc momentum shift where by the end of the fight, Bobby Green absolutely beating Rafael Fiziev in the last round, looking fantastic, perfect form. In the beginning, you had Fiziev looking in perfect form, absolutely beating Bobby Green. And, you know, you get that narrative shift across the fight. I mean, it didn't have the moment-to-moment chaos of a fight like Chandler Gagey, but you know, I guess, as somebody who has to spend all this time looking at breaking down and sort of getting to know the games of all these fighters, I just have a lot more, I have a lot more love in my heart for Bobby Green than most fighters, and just the style of fight he tries to have. And even though that's a fight he lost, it felt to me like a fight that really showed how much he's improved over the years and how much he's at his peak at this point in his career, that he had a very competitive fight with Rafael Fiziev, who, you know, is currently looks to be streaking up towards the top of the division. So as a personal favorite, that stole my spot in the lightweight best fight of the year. It's not the best lightweight fight of the year, but for me, I'm taking it.
I like that choice a whole lot. And I feel like if that fight had been a five rounder, Bobby Green might have been able to edge it out.
Oh yeah, no, I mean, I think if it had another round, he probably would have won it just for how tired Fiziev was looking.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I'm going to switch here. And the reason why I selected this division is because you are the eternal optimist analyst. Mm-hmm. Of all the analysts I've ever spoken to, read their work, listened to, they all hate heavyweight, but not you. You can pick out something positive out of any heavyweight fight, out of any fight, period. So that's why I chose heavyweight. So give me your favorite heavyweight fight of 2021.
Pass.
Come on.
I mean, even by my optimist standards, it's got to be said, this was a really bad year for heavyweight. Like, you look at the main events that that happened in the division. You look at the, you know, the big fights among the top ranked fighters in the division. And it's kind of hard to pick out what was a really great heavyweight fight this last year. You know, it doesn't really feel like anybody had that. There were some awesome moments for people, you know, certainly guys like Tom Aspinall and Tai Tuivasa just recently, and Derek Lewis have had big fight moments this year, but it didn't really feel like there was the only heavyweight fight that I can really say would have been the best of the year would be probably Ngannou Miocic, you know, because that's, I mean, Ngannou Miocic too, because that was his title winning moment. It was a big stage. It delivered a big fight. Outside of that, you know, I think I was looking at this list over here of MMA's best fights on Tapology. The first heavyweight fight that comes up on there is Justin Taffa versus Carlos Felipe.
Ugh.
Exactly. Ugh. Like,
see, for me, it was when Tai Tuivasa knocked out Greg Hardy.
Sure, sure,
and,
yeah.
And I picked that for personal reasons.
That's a cathartic pick for
exactly
for a big portion of the MMA community. But I don't really like, I mean, I guess I'll even just go a step further that I just don't like watching Greg Hardy fight. So
true.
It's hard for me to see him like going out there and getting paid to even to get knocked out. Like, it's not really a catharsis point for me. So I'll stick with Ngannou versus Miocic too. That fight had stakes. It had tension. It had a big wild finish. But it was a pretty bad year for like high-end heavyweight fights. We did not get a Miocic versus Cormier kind of battle.
Right.
Or, you know, some other awesome war that you could really hang your hat on and be like, oh my God, did you see, you know, we didn't get a Bigfoot Hunt or something like that this year for heavyweight.
Let's move to the ladies. Give me your favorite strawweight fight.
All right. This is also a bit like the lightweight pick. There are obvious picks here for big title fights. You know, we had Nami Yunus Ajong too. We had Carla Esparza getting her big win over Yan Jianan.
Yeah.
You know, we had some really big, cool, fun fights, but I'm going to pick Montserrat Conejo versus Cheyenne Vlismas just because that was the most hilarious of just Montserrat Conejo hitting that head and that headlock throw 100 times over, and Vlismas getting madder and madder. It was just the most fun. I don't know. It was the one where, I mean, that gave us the "I'll follow you home, bitch" line.
Yes, it did.
And it gave, you know, it was a wonderful meme fight. And women's, I don't feel like women's strawweight gets a lot of those. So for me, it stuck out more than anything else.
Now we're going to move down to men's bantamweight. What was your favorite?
Yeah. This is a pretty clear and easy one for me. I don't care if the hardcores out there are like, oh, you know, other fights had more swings and momentum. There was like Edgar versus Munoz or fights like that were more tense or whatever. Jan Sandhagen is got to be my answer. That had the highest stakes for me personally going in, because we had done our show before that where I had said that Peter Yan is the best boxer in MMA, or the best striker in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to look very right. coming out of that fight because he looked wonderful. And it was tense and thrilling. And it was a fight where Sandhagen did the right things and tried to make the fight as difficult as possible. And Peter Yan just adjusted and outdid him, outstruck him, found the gaps in his game. And it was a masterful performance from Yan in a fight that was still tight knit and tense all the way through. So I absolutely loved that fight, and it's got to be my pick.
I would agree with you. Now we're going to do your least favorite fights of 2021. And again, randomly chosen divisions here, but I stuck with the same division to open because it's so deep. It was an easy choice for me to make, and that is lightweight. So what was your least favorite fight at lightweight?
It's a little harder to pick out a least favorite. You know, I know I do like the Depressed Us and stuff where we watch a lot of bad fights, but sometimes the things that make a fight bad can also make the fight a fight fun or a fight good or a fight interesting in some way. So it's hard to sometimes to pick out the worst, but I will say that my least favorite lightweight fight of the year, in part just because who likes to see this guy lose and in just such a sort of dispiriting way, would be Joe Selecki over Jim Miller. Joe Selecki's win over Jim Miller, which was just Joe Selecki like out wrestling and out grappling Jim Miller for two rounds, blanketing him. You know, I could say Claudio Puelles versus Chris Gritzmacher was one of the ugliest fights of the year. But it also ended in like a cool knee bar. So is that really terrible? Or Grant Dawson blanketing Rick Glenn for two rounds was really kind of sucky. But then Rick Glenn coming back and whipping his ass for a round was pretty fun to get a draw out of it. So, you know, worst fights of the year, I'm going to go with Jim Miller just getting laid on. That just kind of sucks.
All right. How about middleweight? Now, this division is not the deepest, and so there's quite a plethora to choose from.
Yeah. I mean, middleweight is a bad fight division. It supports a lot of extremely limited games that get caught up in really weird fights. We've gotten, you know, fights like Deron Winn versus Antonio Arroyo last year, or Kyle Daukaus versus Kevin Holland that ended with that weird headbutt, or Eric Anders fights, any of them, you know. But I'm gonna go with what I think was It ended up being kind of exciting because it was so god-awful. And it was just terrible all the way to the core, low-level, extremely regional MMA. And that was Cody Brundage versus Nick Maximov.
Now, I didn't see this fight, so what was terrible about it?
Well, I mean, in part, you've got Maximov getting a bunch of Diaz hype, you know, with Nick and Nate in his corner, or Nate, I think, especially was in his corner for it, and like them pumping him up and, you know, really getting fans excited for him. And then you have the fact that a lot of the fighters that come out of that, I mean, it's, you know, it's not, I'm not going to say it's a Kavanaugh situation there. But we all remember Chris Avila as like,
yes, we do,
the big Diaz product, the next big thing out of Team Diaz. They don't necessarily produce the most well-rounded fighters. And Brundage is a pure wrestler who does not have any real functional striking. And Maximov is a pure wrestler or pure grappler with some decent wrestling and no functional striking. I think the biggest thing I noticed for Maximov was that he boxes out of the opposite stance he wrestles out of. So when he was in his wrestling stance trying to throw punches, they all looked terrible. And then when he was in his boxing stance throwing punches, he couldn't wrestle. And he could never, like, neither man could initiate any real control. And neither man knew how to strike. And it just ended up this super ugly, tired, gassed out, low-level middleweight fight that was, it was hilarious, but it was terrible. It was really low-level MMA. And the part I think that made it worse is that it's low-level MMA between two really good athletes. So you're not even getting that feeling of like, oh, these guys are trying their hardest and they're just never going to be very good, so this is the best they can do. It's like, no, these guys are both fast and powerful and athletic, and they just have not built full functional MMA games at all. And they rely on control wrestling, and it was terrible.
What about featherweight? Give me your least favorite at men's featherweight.
So that's a lot tougher. Featherweight doesn't offer a lot of fights. I'm going to go once again, though, with... I'm going to go with the ugliest fight of the year in the division rather than trying to pick out a really, like, lockdown, boring, worst fight. And I got to feel like the ugliest fight of the year in the division was Chase Hooper against Steven Peterson.
That's an excellent, excellent choice right there. I like that.
Yeah, like Hooper is not UFC ready, and going out and getting bodied for three rounds by Steven Peterson, that's a clear sign.
Let's move to welterweight as our final category for the least favorite fights of the year.
And this was a tough one as well. You know, I was looking through the have to try to figure out and remember what the worst fights of the year in any given division were, is really just to go through and look at all the fighters in the division and scan and look for and be like, oh no, I remember that guy had a fight this year and it was awful. You know, I'm looking at the Dwight Grant and Ramazan Amiyevs of the world. But there was definitely a big disappointment fight of the year. And that was the Bellator welterweight title fight between Yaroslav Amoslov and Diego Lima. And that pains me to say because I'm an OG Yaroslav Amoslov fan. But it was just ugly. Not fun. It's that thing that's plagued Bellator a lot, which is that they can put together a cool fight between very good fighters. That should be lots of fun. And then the actual product is just not. It just does not happen. It does the styles don't click. It doesn't feel like an amazing statement fight for anyone, you know?
Yeah.
And this really failed to feel like a statement fight, I think.
All right. So we're going to teeter away from the worst fights, and we're going to look forward to 2022. So I want to get three wish list fights from you. Again, random divisions. So this time we're going to look at men's bantamweight and women's bantamweight. So give me a wish list fight for each of those divisions.
Okay, well, for men's bantamweight, I had written down Cruz Dillashaw,
Two.
Yeah, Cruz Dillashaw, two. I think that would be a great fight to see again. But if I'm being real, it would probably be something more like Horiguchi versus Cejudo, something like that, you know?
Wow, I like that one. I personally would like to see Dillashaw and Aldo, but that's a good one.
Yeah.
Especially since Cejudo's piping up that he wants to come back.
Yeah. And it's a fantasy. It's a wish list fight. It's not going to be, you know, we're crossing promotions here, all that. it would be fun to see a little more experimental, something like that out there, you know?
For sure. For sure. Now, what about women's bantamweight? Would you like to see the rematch or do you want to see something different?
I got to admit, if there's a woman's bantamweight fight that I feel like has to be made right now that I really want to see, it's not a rematch between Amanda Nunes and Juliana Pena, although that's fine. And if they make it, I'll definitely watch it. It's a rematch between Juliana Pena and Jermaine Durandamy.
Oh, yeah, that's also a good one, especially since Durandamy, didn't she get her first submission off Juliana Pena?
She out-wrestled, outstruck, and out-grappled Juliana Pena just last year. So that, if I'm looking at like who's champ right now and what fight I want to see them in, honestly, that's like the fight to me that I most want to see happen. Just to be like, you know, is Juliana Pena, did she actually turn some corner in this last year? Or did she just find Amanda Nunes at the perfect low ebb in her career? Or is she just magically the poison for Amanda Nunes that brings out the old Amanda Nunes who quits or who breaks, I should say?
Yeah. I don't know, but I would like to see that. I think that's a very good fight to make. Mm-hmm. Now, let's talk light heavyweight.
Yeah. Wish list light heavyweight fight. It would probably have to take place at heavyweight at this point. I don't really care. But if I had a wish list fight for light heavyweight this coming year, it would be Jiří Procházka versus John Jones.
I like that. Definitely. Yeah.
Procházka is just the right kind of huge and powerful and crazy that he could take a fight to John Jones that several people have tried to take to him lately and have had success taking to him lately, but have not been able to actually convince judges that they won. And, I don't know what's going on with John Jones, but I don't even really care about his whole heavyweight experiment. So that would be the fight. That really, more than anything, that's the fight I want to see for Jiří Procházka. I don't really care about the John Jones aspect of it, except that I'd like to see Procházka get a fight like that. Because I don't know that Glover Teixeira and what comes after is going to be necessarily the most, I don't know. It'll be good, but it's not the thing I care the most about in terms of that division right now.
And you know what's funny is that John Jones has a little bit of yip-yap for everyone, but I've never seen him have any yip-yap for Jiří Procházka.
Why would you? The man's terrifying.
I know, right? And you've been following him since 2014.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's look at flyweight as our last wish list fight, and then we'll move into the super fights.
My base flyweight wish list fight is really, it's not that thrilling or even impossible. It would just be a fight I'd really like to see. And that's Askar Askarov versus Davison Figueiredo.
Oh, wow. I like that.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Would also just love to, like, much like the bantamweight fight, I'd also love to see, like, Cejudo Figueiredo. Just anything with Davison Figueiredo fighting somebody thrilling. Horiguchi Figueiredo, you know? Like, he's the key of that wish list.
What about Pettis?
I mean, the knockout was really cool, but Sergio Pettis has never been a wish list fighter for me. What differentiated him? He's not unfun. I don't hate him, but what differentiated him at flyweight was that he was the only flyweight big enough to have a jab, basically, you know. And I don't mean to say that, like, I don't want to be too, condescending or anything, but he had range and he was the rangy flyweight. And, you know, because most fighters in that division, they have tiny arms. They're not out there throwing jabs. And then he moved up to bantamweight, and I've never really thought of Sergio Pettis to be an especially impressive bantamweight. And that knockout he got over Kyoji Horiguchi was really cool, but it wasn't, and it showed the talent that Pettis can possess, because it was a move he practiced. It's not like some lucky thing, but it was not at all indicative of the fight that he had.
Right, because he was getting his ass handed to him all the way to that point.
Yeah. So I don't really like Sergio Pettis. If he keeps doing cool stuff and winning cool fights in cool ways, I will throw my hat behind that. But, you know, he's otherwise like he's a fun and fine fighter, and I got nothing wrong with him. But he's not the most thrilling fighter that I line up to watch.
All right. Now we're going to move into super fights, and this one is easy, and it'll be the one, these two will close out the episode. Basically, I want you to make one women's super fight and one men's super fight that you would throw your life savings at to watch.
Yeah. Well, there aren't much in the way of women's super, like the one I wrote down, and I'm already reconsidering because it's not technically a super fight, it's like a super contenders fight, would be Andrade versus Zhang.
Mm-hmm.
Which would be fun and interesting and fascinating, and I'd love to see it. But otherwise, I think right now the super fight to make is Harrison versus Cyborg.
I like that.
That's the fight that has the most curbside appeal, you know. Harrison versus Nunez is also cool, but obviously the shine is off that one just a little bit at the moment. I'd still love to see it if the UFC could arrange it. There's definitely not a super fight there's not really a super fight with Shevchenko or Pena that really interests me. Or even Rose Namajunas, honestly, because I don't really think that Namajunas is... I think that her style of fighting and her physicality does not lend itself to moving up a division. You know?
She is pretty small.
Yeah, she's pretty wiry, and I can't see her like fighting Shevchenko and that being like, I don't know, good for her. It'd be, if they made it, I would watch it. It would be interesting just as a test, but I would mostly think that Namajunas would just get bodied to the mat in a hurry. And yeah, like we saw Shevchenko Pena, it was not that fun a fight. It was not bad, but it was not anything terribly interesting.
She got subbed.
Yeah.
And that's what made me laugh so much in the lead up to Peña Nunes, is that Peña kept calling Nunes a can crusher. However, two of those cans that Nunes crushed were the two that finished Juliana, because Juliana's only been finished twice in her career. And both of those women were women that Amanda Nunes beat. And so it just, you know, the way these fighters do their trash talk is so dumb, because if I'm taking on Amanda Nunes, I am painting her to be the killer of all killers.
Yeah,
she slayed King Kong and Godzilla and Mothra all in one night. That's what I'm telling people. So that when I beat her, it looks like I defeated a god.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, Juliana Pena definitely has some big Jessica Eye energy in that trash talk.
I kind of like your initial idea, though, of the rematch with Weili Zhang and Jessica Andrade. I like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. But I still, in my heart of hearts, I want the trilogy between Shevchenko and Nunes. I can't help myself.
Yeah. Oh, God. That. No. That's such a miserable fight.
But I want it anyways. I can't help it. I want it.
I absolutely not. That is a hill. I am no longer dying on the Lewis Ngannou hill. I'm actually slightly interested in seeing that rematch because, you know, Ngannou is champ now. He has something that he would not want to lose. And I think it could be different. But that Nunes Shevchenko fight, I don't ever need to see that again.
All right, so make your super fight for the men.
That's easy. Jan Volk. Oh. Jan Volkanovski.
Really?
Of course.
Oh, wow. I like that. I'm going to tell you who John Nash chose. And I also found this one a very interesting prospect. He wants to see Jiří Procházka, or as he calls him, Jiří Procházky, versus Ciryl Gane.
Sure. Yeah, that would be really cool, too. Anything with Procházka in it, I'm going to watch. You know, you could practically make that argument for Procházka-Jones idea of being a super fight.
For sure.
And, you know, that's awesome. But Jan Volkanovski, Peter Jan is the dude I want to watch in random trials right now. The guy that I most want to see just put in any situation. So
I'm going to ask you one extra question that I didn't put on our little outline. If you could make any fight at all for Brian Ortega, just any fight, who would you like to see him fight?
Charles Oliveira.
Oh, wow. Right off the bat. And I love that. That's the perfect fight to make too.
Right. I mean, it's not like Oliveira didn't used to be a featherweight. Brian Ortega is a huge featherweight. And if, you know, both men can punch, both men can grapple, I'd love to see it.
Excellent.
There would be a no-fear grappling game between both of them.
Right? I like that a lot. And they both envision themselves as boxers now.
Yep.
I like it. So that's going to wrap up this section. I'm probably going to tap you for another one in the very, very near future. I just need to put together my own wish list. But for right now, what I want to do is ask you to tell everybody where to find you and what kind of new art you have coming out for your latest DVD and Blu-ray covers, because I am the proud owner of one of your pieces of art. And man,
really, which you have not watched yet, or I would have heard about it.
I haven't. It's for reasons you are well aware of, but I plan to soon. But tell us where we can find you on social media. If you have new projects coming up, anything you'd like to say, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, as always, you can find me on Twitter at TheZaneSimon and over at BloodyElbow.com and, you know, over on the Bloody Elbow Presents podcast network with the Sixth Round and the MMA Vivisection and the MMA Depressed Us, which we will be coming out with several times over the upcoming break here. And otherwise, you know, I'm pecking away here, making a couple things. I'm currently working on some old, making some cover art and stuff to produce some old Kung Fu Blu-rays and stuff like that. But nothing. I've taken a little step back just lately, just because, you know, like I say, holiday stuff, lots of other stuff going on. So not pushing myself too hard on anything right now.
Any travel plans? Because you are also a bit of a traveler. You and your wife go here, there, and everywhere. Got any travel plans for the coming year?
I don't know yet. We were supposed to go to Italy maybe at some point with my parents, but all the lockdown stuff has changed that several times now. So not any real solid travel plans coming up.
Well, we can have Italy in your kitchen since you are quite the chef.
There we go. Yeah. knock together a little.
And that'll probably be something that I hit you up for in the future, because I haven't done a cooking with segment in quite some time, and I have yet to do one with you. So that might be something that I hit you up for, cooking with Zane.
All right. We'll knock together some baked ZD or something.
Hell yeah. That sounds awesome. So, folks, that's going to wrap up this edition of Crooklyn's Corner. Until next time, please stay safe.
Thank you for listening to this Bloody Elbow Presents production. To check out more of our content, hop over to the Bloody Elbow Presents SoundCloud and iTunes pages, and be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, which is also titled Bloody Elbow Presents. We're also on Apple TV, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Player FM, and Amazon Music. Just search for Bloody Elbow Presents, and you'll get brand new shows throughout the week, including Care Don't Care, The Mookie and Crookie Show, the best of the Come On Now MMA podcast, Crooklyn's Corner, the MMA Vivisection, the Level Change podcast, Show Money, the Sixth Round Post Fight Show, Sixth Round Retro, the MMA Depressed Us, and Radio Style play-by-play for every UFC pay-per-view. You can also follow us on Twitter at Bloody Elbow and on Facebook at facebook.com/Bloody Elbow Blog, and of course on BloodyElbow.com.